Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to your latest Wolves Fancast match preview. As always, I'm your host, Little Dan, and join us on tonight's show. I've got Phil, Dean Marsden, and another new guest to the Wolves match preview show. I've got Ethan at Ethan without an A, HWLL on Instagram. How are you, Ethan?
Yeah, I'm good. Cheers. Thanks for having me, Dan.
He was gassed to join us off air, everyone. You can still see the smile on his face now. He's buzzing the kiddies. I'm going to ask you the standard new question that we ask all new guests. I'm going to tweak it from now on. Who's your Mount Rushmore of Wolves players? So, four people. Who's your favourite ever Wolves player?
I used to have a season ticket back in the Mick McCarthy days. So, my favourite Wolves player after we won... Beat United 2-1 at home. It was George Ellacobi. Definitely.
George.
Had the shirt the season we went down. Big three on the back. Best goal would have been probably Neves against Derby. Can't really think of anything else that really tops it.
Who's the best player you've actually seen in a Wolves shirt, Ethan?
Maybe like Prime Jimmy. Prime Jimenez.
He was a special talent, wasn't he? And who's like a cult hero for you over the years of supporting Wolves?
Well, you say Big George and then maybe like... I'm going to say Frimpong.
He's mine. He's, so that's what we're going to be putting out on our social media posts. Keep an eye out. Wolves, Mount Rushmore. Who's your favourite ever Wolves player? Who's the player that scored your favourite Wolves goal? Who's a cult hero and who is the best player that you've seen in the Wolves shirt? Look on our social media at Wolves Fancast for that and let us know who your Mount Rushmore is. Who's your cult hero for Wolves, Phil, over the years?
Cult hero. I was a big fan of Zubar for those couple of seasons. Yeah, that sort of marauding right back, but yeah, slightly not quite first touch sort of thing. But yeah.
That's what I'm looking for from a cult hero type player. They might not have been the most technically gifted, but they would run through Wolves, or they would have done some sort of miraculous goal against the run of play. I mean, there's moments like Richard Stearman getting shot by the sniper at home to West Brom. That's a cult hero moment, even though Steers is a bit of a legend for Fancast friend. Dean, what's your sort of your favourite Wolves goal that you've seen in the flesh?
Go back to the other one. My cult hero is probably Mo Kamara.
Yeah.
He was just so unorthodox. A little bit Totti-esque, like now. Like, you know he's going to give you everything. But talking about goal, I think if you discount Neves is at Derby, it's probably Kennedy's in the playoff final just because of what it meant more than anything. Like, yeah, we've got a chance there kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's probably that one as a goal I've seen. That actually sticks, jumps out. There probably is better goals I've seen, but that's the one that actually sticks with me.
That Neves goal is literally going to be the answer for pretty much everyone, isn't it? It's just the most ridiculous goal that I've seen in person. I remember literally not even properly celebrating that goal because I just thought it was that outrageous. I remember walking towards the toilet and two guys was walking back down the ramp as like the fans were celebrating. I was just like, you just missed the best fucking goal ever at Molineux. And they don't know what was going on. It was just like, it was outlandish, wasn't it? As I said, thanks for joining us on the Wolves Fancast tonight with our podcast network provider, Audi, and the Boston Coffee Vending Company. It's just coming out the back of the international break. England qualified after a 3-1 win home to Italy. Matt Doherty, Boubacar Traoré featured for their nations. Twangy Chan with another goal contribution and it's two goal contributions for careers. I think they ran out 6-0 winners against Cambodia. Mateus Cunha was a bit unfortunate. He was brought on in the latter stages of Brazil's defeat away to Uruguay. I think it's their first defeat in quite a while. Brazil, Neymar ended up doing his ACL and his MCL red today, which is unfortunate for him. Pedro Neto and Fabio Silva played for their countries, as well as Sasa Kalajic. But it's game week 9 of the Premier League, and we'll be talking about the Wolves-Bournemouth game in a bit more depth. But let's have a look at the fixtures for this weekend. That starts on Saturday at 12:30, Liverpool at home to Everton. Wolves obviously travel away to Bournemouth, the 3 o'clock kickoff. All the rest of the 3 o'clock kickoffs is Brentford, Burnley, Man City, Brighton, Newcastle at home to Palace, and Forest at home to Luton. Chelsea versus Arsenal is the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday night, followed by Sheffield United at home to Manchester United at 8 o'clock. Looking at those fixtures there, Ethan, who's your banker for this weekend? Where's your money at?
I'd say we're definitely going to beat Bournemouth, man. We've got to start putting these teams to bed. So I'm going to say Wolves. I'm going to back it, put my neck on the line.
I'm the only person that has said after that question this season that for Wolves to be the banker this weekend. And I said it after we before we beat Everton away. Bit maybe against the run of play on the day, but I knew he was going to beat Everton that day. Where's your money at, Dean?
It's got to be Liverpool at home. I know it's the derby, but Everton are just so bad. Yeah, it's got to be Liverpool for me. I can imagine them probably sticking a few past them.
Yeah, Trevor Jamieson says, looking forward to what Ethan has to say. And to be honest, he's already put himself out there to go viral. I didn't really have the camera showing him at the time. But yeah, he's gone for Wolves to beat Bournemouth away. Yeah, it's a pretty easy pick, isn't it? Liverpool to beat Everton. Obviously, Deutsche Ball looks a bit more impressive at the moment. Fifth in the XG table, Everton at the moment. I think Stu's licking his lips at Deutsche Ball. But he's never going to be anything type of manager that I'm going to want to see at Molineux. Phil, where's your money at this weekend?
Probably on Spurs, I think. You know, save it to the Monday at home to Fulham. I can't see them losing that.
Yeah, Fulham haven't really looked at the team, have they? That ended last season. João Plinio obviously was out for a while. Obviously, they've lost Alexander Mitrovic to Saudi. Jimenez hasn't really hit the ground running yet, has he? It's all set up, isn't it? We've got Fulham away in November. You can just see it's classic Wolves. It's the Matrix. Can you hear that? That's the sound of inevitability. Looking at those fixtures, I think Newcastle at home to Palace, 3 o'clock. I think Newcastle are the banker this weekend. One of the unfortunate bit of news that I read just before coming on the back of Sandro Tonali being looking like he's going to face a ban is that Newcastle are supposedly going to be back in for Ruben Neves in January. I'm not ready to see Ruben Neves play against us, especially for a team like Newcastle, who, as I said numerous times this season, that I'm still really jealous of Newcastle. I feel like that should have been us. The momentum that we had as a club before the pandemic and the recruitment model was so good at the time. So, yeah, be sad if Ruben Neves does end up going there. Trevor Jamieson saying, can you ask Ethan more questions about what he thinks? What's the deal with Trevor Jamieson, Ethan?
Oh, I don't know. I did post on my story that I was going to be on the show tonight. So I've got a couple of mates who are support lesser teams on the comments, I think.
See, Alex Atkinson has just said he's like Gary O'Neill, top right. I mean, I ain't got my glasses on tonight, but I can't see it myself. Can you see Gary O'Neill in there, that top right?
Absolutely
lads?
Not.
No, none whatsoever. To be honest, I think you're better looking than Gary O'Neill. That's like me, like not even flirting. I think you're just better looking than Gary O'Neill. I think he's doing a real disservice there. Obviously, Pedro Neto is having a bit of a resurgence for Wolves at the moment. Nobody has more assists in the Premier League this season than Pedro Neto with 5, already the most by a Wolves player in a campaign since Pedro Neto had 6 in the 21-22 season. The 6 goal involvements in his last 6 league games is as many as his in his previous 50. How much does Pedro Neto excite you at the moment, Phil? Because I was saying I think it was on BBCWM the other day, it's nice that Wolves have finally got players in the forward line who are in form, because it's usually been Jose Sarr or Ruben Neves, but we've actually got 2 players in the front line who are really in form at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've always, I think most of Wolves fans have always thought this is the Pedro Neto that we had. He's just been lucky with injuries, and I think we're finally seeing that he's actually fully match fit. And, you know, he's had most fullbacks we've played, he's given a torrid time to be honest. And he's got, you know, wand of a left foot, really. And should really have more goals than he's got. You know, you think of the, you know, United away, should have scored there. You know, if he adds a few more goals to his game, we've got a real player.
The concern is obviously the vultures are already circling in January, aren't they, Dean? Talks of 60, 70 million pound, that might be enough to prize him away. I said off camera that it would be absolutely suicidal for Wolves to let Pedro Neto go in January. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in the summer if the bid was right, but letting him go in January would be suicide, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's it for me. I think in the January you have to dig your heels in and say, nah, you can just wait till the summer, and then he can then fund the rebuild of what the plan is in January. You're already scrapping around, but he just looks confident again. He looks like he's just going to, you know what, I'm the leader of this. I said it the last show I was on. He looks like the leader of the team now. He stepped into that gap that Neves has left. You know what? This is my side. I'm going to lead by example, and he is. He probably should have a few more goals. You look at that chance against Villa. Sasha put it across to him. Probably should have hit the target with that, but he's doing everything we want him to do, and everything that good that we're doing is coming through him at the moment. So we need to just capitalise on it and just keep feeding him the ball.
You mentioned left wingers, Just Ethan, Mark Hendy, probably in my top five favourite Wolves players of all time. But Pedro Neto, that left foot on that wing, obviously he's played predominantly on the right this season. But how much have you been impressed with his season so far?
Yeah, it's quality, to be fair. I went to the Palace game with my mate, and I thought it was frustrating me in the first half. But he was just, he's our only outlet sometimes. But I don't think people give enough credit to Hwang. Like the goal against Villa, he wins the ball back and then gives it to Neto, and he runs up the pitch, gives it in back. But without Neto, Neto's the only one taking us forward a lot of the time. So, yeah, he's...
You've mentioned Hwang there. Like I mentioned, just two informed players. Hwang got two goal contributions for South Korea the other night. He's really informed. I think he's supposedly he's going to break the record if he scores in our next home game since, I think, it's six consecutive home games in a row, which is currently held by John Richards in like the 70s. So if he can do that against Newcastle next Saturday at 5:30, and hopefully it's a winner, it should be a good evening for Wolves next week. I'm just going to put the quick question out to... I'm going to ask you, Phil, because you're quite... I'm going to say you're the most sensible one out of the four of us here based on my previous lifetime with you. But Pedro Neto is better than Messi, isn't he?
I mean, yeah, without a doubt, isn't it? You know, yeah. Current form, you know, potential. You know, I think he's got it all, hasn't he, really? What's Messi got?
You've completely let me down there, because I was hoping you were actually going to be sensible there, Phil, and you were going to say no, because Messi is the GOAT, and then I would just say, Messi's the GOAT?
False. Very, very false. No, 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 very, very false. It's so false. He's very bad.
He's the GOAT. Pedro Neto's the GOAT. He's going to have the best season in a Wolves shirt this season, then he's going to be sold to Real Madrid in the summer for 150 million, and maybe we'll get... I was going to say, Jesus Vallejo back as part of the deal, but I think he's gone to Girona to replace Santi Breno recently, if I've got that right. Obviously, 3 o'clock on Saturday, we travel to Dean Court. Gary O'Neill returns to the side that sacked him in the summer, replaced him by Iriola. We haven't got a good record away at Bournemouth. I think we've only won once in probably five of the last six, maybe, away at Dean Court. We've drawn a lot of games. We haven't played a lot against Bournemouth in the history of Wolves, but two players that are going to be massively key to missing from Wolves on Saturday is Nelson Semedo and Mario Lemina. Nelson Semedo has kicked off the season quite well, hasn't he, Ethan?
Yeah, he's been quality. He was when he came in January last season, to be fair, but he's been influential. I feel like he's good. He's a good like teacher, I guess, to Gomez, because Gomez is what, only 20 years old or something. But yeah, he's been quality. The second yellow against Villa was annoying though, because it was just like a shirt pull, but I think he's going to be a big miss.
Dean, can you tell all the listeners about the... I think it was Kieran actually, but do you remember the Kieran's red card stat from Sunday?
Oh.
I'll tell you, because you ain't... So Kieran, our match day graphic designer, informed me on Sunday at the Content Creators Cup that in the entire campaign last season in the Premier League, there was 30 red cards. We're currently up to 18 this season. that's how trigger happy the referees are with cards at the moment. So we were sort of talking about, if you was to put on, like, I think, if I'm guessing right, most Premier League matches, I think it's around maybe 2-1 for a red card over 90 minutes. I think there's money to be made there over a season if you small bet every single game.
I made a fair bit of money the first weekend in the EFL. I think I made like 120 quid on it because I knew they were going to be dead, and the odds were like massive for like 4 booking points in every game. I picked like 10, and all it needed to be was like 4 yellow cards across both teams. And I ended up getting like 120 quid off like £2.50 or something. But the week after, the odds just got short and loads.
Yeah, massively frustrating. Like you said, some of the bookings are a bit unnecessarily, but obviously that's what the refs are being told to clamp down on this season, especially like with the delaying of throw-ins, which I think is a ridiculous one. I don't know why they're having like 13 minutes added time in some games, just had an extra 2 minutes. So instead of booking a player for delaying a throw-in, there's got to be some sort of common sense in there.
Like, what can the person throwing do? Like, when the other team's like completely boxed them out, the man to man.
I had this conversation at work the other day. If I'm in that position now and I've got no one to throw it to, I'll just do a fell throw. Then yeah, you've got to try and box that player in there. I don't know what else a player can do apart from literally just launch it down the line. But
old school down the line.
Launching it down the line is you're pretty much just playing yourself, unless you've got sort of Meyerhofer or someone who's going to win the flick on. But then you're basically heading it back to their centre halves, and then they've got possession in the centre of the field to switch play quickly. So my opinion is just do a foul throw. Don't get yourself booked. Let us know your thoughts on referees this season. Trevor Jameson back again saying don't get Ethan started on his bets. What's your betting history been like this season, Ethan?
Oh, it's been terrible, to be fair. But I always put down... Well, last season I always had Neto to score first. Wolves win 2-1. It hasn't come in this season, but nah, I'm rubbish at betting.
Luton, it nearly did. Hopefully on Saturday. I'll take a 2-1 Wolves with Neto. First goal scorer Saturday. Oh, no questions asked. We have touched on it. Nelson Samado suspended. Who starts at right back for you on Saturday, Phil?
I mean, it's probably got to be Doherty. I don't see any other options particularly. I don't think Johnny's particularly favoured. I don't know if O'Neill really rates him. So we haven't got a lot of options, but obviously, you know, I'm sure this will be a discussion point. If you play Doherty, you know, do you play him in a 5 or a 4? And I'd be sort of favouring going to the playing him in a 5 because that's where he's most effective. But do you want to be playing 5 at the back against Bournemouth? You know, that's the sort of question that O'Neill's got to answer. But we generally just don't have too many options at right back, I don't think, now that Samado's just out for the one game.
Yeah, I've mentioned it before. It's so unfortunate that we've just got no sort of, I'll say we've got no faith, but we've got a little to no faith in Johnny Otto coming in to do a job now. I think he did okay in that Blackpool game, but that was the reason why I said people shouldn't be gassing Pablo Sarabia, because it was literally just Blackpool. You've touched on it. The formation is a massive conundrum for Gary O'Neill on Saturday. I sort of talked off camera about maybe Wolves going back to a back four and having an extra man in midfield. But Ethan, do you stick with a back five on Saturday?
Yeah, I think you got to. I think it's working. The last two games being our best two games of the season, really. Like performance and result-wise. probably performance-wise, actually, because we scraped it against Everton. But I think I'd keep it the same, yeah. Bring Bueno on for like either Docks or Aitnori.
Yeah, I did say maybe go back to a back four, but we just haven't got the solidity, have we, at full back, unless you drop to Aitnori to bring in an extra man in midfield and you go to a back four with Totti left back, but then you still got Matt Doherty in a back four, which I know a lot of us aren't really confident with. The other key player that we're going to massively miss on Saturday is Mario Lemina, Dean. We did put a poll up on our Wolves Twitter earlier saying who should be our midfield two, and João Gomes and Bubka Traoré was the sort of runaway winner. Is that the midfield for you?
Yeah, it's got to be. Boob has been class on his little cameos so far this season. I think he deserves it. He's combative. He gives us what Lemina takes away on the actual physical side of it. We lose Lemina's like control and leadership a little bit. But with Buber, you get a bit more thrust to go forward as well. So I think if Bournemouth are going to want to sit, you're going to want at least one of those midfield two joining the attacks when we've got the ball. Whereas if you was to go, like, I've seen people suggest Bellegarde to come in, but he's too attacking. He's not robust enough to be in a midfield two on his own. If you go to a three, then that opens it up. But for me, it'd be Gomez and Buba.
I was the one who put Bellegarde in as an option on that poll earlier. I think that Bournemouth would literally play through us like Man United, like we did against Man United. And I think João Gomez is going to be able to sort of combat that sort of numbers going through him. As much as I want Wolves to go out on the front foot, I think Bellegarde is too much of a risk, isn't he? On the last goalie's tactical analysis, he did a bit of a info stat analysis on Bukayo Traoré. And if you look at sort of the minutes played compared to Gomez and Lamina, he's pretty much outdoing them on a lot of numbers. If he can keep that sort of trajectory going. Passes completed 14 out of 16. João Gomez 17 out of 22 to Lamina's 29 out of 38. A lot more progressive passing in regards to distance compared to João Gomez. So he does bring an absolute different variety, Phil, Boubacar Traoré, right? But is he able to do the defensive side as good as Lamina?
That's the question, isn't it? I think he's definitely got a start. I think there's no question about that. And there's a player in there. I think a lot of most Wolves fans will agree with that. There's a player in there somewhere. And only time will tell. He's got to get in the starting 11. He's got to get minutes under his belt and hopefully plays the role that we need. Because who are the other options that would come in? I think you mentioned Bellegarde, but you're coming off a 3-match suspension as well. He might not be necessarily match fit. I think Doyle has been on the bench a bit, hasn't he? But I still think he's been recovering from an injury, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's Traoré's spot to sort of take, really.
I feel really sorry for Tommy Doyle because of that Ipswich performance where literally everyone was sort of 5 out of 10 and below. He hasn't really put himself in the window, really, has he, Dean, to start on Saturday?
No, but I also think when he was at Sheffield, he played in a three and he could use his technical ability a little bit more. So I think in a two, he would get exposed because he's just not, he's not the physical specimen that Gomez and Traoré are. They don't put themselves about as much. He's technically, he's probably better than Buba, but that's not what we need from our centre midfield on Saturday.
I feel quite a lot of Dilshads due to my poor fancy Premier League playing. But we've got a question in the comments from Chris Rogers who says, who do you pick in your fantasy, Phil, Neto or Hwang?
If I was picking one, it would be 100% Neto, I think.
It's close, isn't it, between the goal contributions? I think Hwang scored more goals. So from an FPL point of view, Hwang's down as a midfielder this season, isn't he?
I think they both are. But I think just, if you're going to, I think Neto's just got that bit more sort of explosive sort of points potential if you're looking at it from an FPL point of view.
I think everyone is of the consensus that Bellegarde is capable of doing a job on Saturday, but if we want to try and take the game as serious as possible, it's Boubacar Traoré. Looking at that Bournemouth side, Ethan, players like Justin Kluivert, Dominic Solanke, those are the players that stand out for me. Where's your concerns on Saturday?
My next door neighbour is a Bournemouth fan, and he always banging on about Solanke and Billin. So them two. Billin always seems to have a game against us like he's Lionel Messi. So I'd say Billin and Solanke for sure.
Yeah, I was surprised that Philip Billin was still at Bournemouth after they got relegated because he is a decent player, isn't he, Dean?
Yeah, he's good. Looks a bit like BTEC Tyrone Mings, but ability-wise, he's pretty good. Tavernier's a worry for me. I think he's top of a lot of the dribble charts and things like that season to date. And if we go with a five, I'm not as concerned. But if we go with a four, then if you're playing Totti or eight, if you're playing Totti at left back, then he could get found out positionally wise because he's not a left back. He's not, well, he's a left back by trade. That's where he come up, but he's not played left back for Wolves much apart from under Lop last season. But yeah, Tavernier is another one to look out for. I think he's just got a bit about him. He scored against us last season, didn't he? When Solanke got in down the side and got the winner and the shit housed us.
Yeah, I mentioned it off air that a part of Gary O'Neill's, apparently his interview process was that he convinced the sort of Matt Hobbs and whoever else was the interviewees at the time that he's really good at putting the detail in for game plans and making sure the players follow the instructions to the T. That's how we got the win over Man City. He set up Bournemouth to get a win over us at Molineux last season. I think he was one of the most frustrating performances, wasn't it, Phil, looking back? We had a lot of possession, dominated the final third, but we never really even tested Neto, their goalkeeper, on the day. And like Dean mentioned, Solanke ended up feeding Philip Billing to get the win on the day.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, last season was a frustrating season in so many points for us, wasn't it, really? But they, as you said, we've touched on the players, I think. I mean, you, Solanke, you know, got, what, 12-plus goal involvements last year, maybe? You know, Wolves could only dream of that from a forward player at the moment. You, Dean touched on it. Tavernier is very dangerous. I mean, it'd be interesting to see who plays in that Kluivert position. I don't know if they've got that nailed down. But, you know, we've got to get at them, really. You know, we've got to be going for the 3 points, definitely. Yeah. Even though it's away from home, we've got to be going for the 3 points against Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mentioned off air before we start, I think it's a bit ridiculous to say, but I think sort of Gary O'Neill's sort of coaching pedigree is pretty much on the line here. He shows that he can set up a team to execute his game plan and get the win like he did against Man City, but he knows, he should know Bournemouth at the back of his hand. He's had 2 weeks to put together a game plan, knowing that we haven't got Semedo and Mario Lemina on Saturday. So for me, anything other than 3 points is a bit disheartening from his point of view, because I feel like he's got so much in the bank credit-wise after the Man City win, but there's still going to be a group of fans out there who are still a bit tetchy about whether he is the man to take us forward. Looking at that back four for Bournemouth, though, Ethan, Kirkes, Senesi, Zabanyan, and Max Ahrens, who are like Max Ahrens, they're not really like big names in the Premier League sort of hemisphere, are they? They're there to be got at.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to say anything too out there, but I only recognise Ahrens. Was that the one that was at Norwich?
Norwich, yeah.
Yeah, he was decent. The others, no idea who they are, but watch him go and score one goal against us and shit out us on the weekend.
I looked at the highlights from the Everton-Bournemouth game, and I had their goalkeeper, Neto, in my fantasy team at the start of the season, because I thought he finished last season quite well. But he looks really, really nervous and classic sort of... I'm not saying he's of the same ability, but he's very Gigi Buffon at the moment. He likes to palm a lot of crosses and shots. And I think Everton scored maybe one or two goals on the back of him not having the confidence to collect crosses on Saturday. Is what's your thoughts on Neto, the Bournemouth keeper, Dean?
See, I thought he was all right when he first went, you know, pedigree, Barcelona, that kind of stuff, come up through La Masia and that, so he can play ball. But he was good last season, like you say. But this season, Deutsch ball found him out. Like, there was lumping into the box and he just couldn't deal with it. But I also think he has been left exposed by, because they all seem very open, Bournemouth, whenever you watch them, which plays into our hands a bit. Oh, there you go. Plays into our hands a bit on Saturday, because the same way we're looking at it and saying we need to get 3 points, they're doing the same. They're like, this is a home game. Wolves are down there with us. We need to attack. We need to get 3 points, which could play into our hands, which then feeds back into, I don't think he's got much trust in that back four. And that comes down to it as well. He's used to having Carlos Puyol and Gerard Piqué. And now he's got Senesi and Zabane.
Yeah, he hasn't started well. It's, like I said, it's classic Wolves, isn't it? Bournemouth, I think it's Bournemouth and Luton are the only teams now that haven't picked up a win. Have Burnley picked up a win yet?
Luton beat Everton, didn't they?
Luton beat Everton. So is it Burnley and Bournemouth that hasn't got a win then?
I know Bournemouth haven't. I don't know about Burnley. Yeah, 100%.
Bournemouth definitely haven't. Raymond in the comments section, likelihood of Cunha or Huang being on the bench due to international duty. I don't think so. They were back in training. If you saw the Wolves video that put out earlier, the guys returning back to Compton today. One of the things that stood out for me during the YouTube video that I watched earlier is the fact that Bruno Jourdain is training with the first team. He did have an orange bib on compared to all the rest of the yellows in the little scene that I saw. So I don't know how in-depth he is in the Wolves first team squad at the moment. But that's one to keep an eye on if we are going to be losing Mario Lemina I don't know, Gabon didn't qualify, did they? But Boubacar Traoré's Marley have.
Yeah,
it's one to keep an eye on that. Maybe we'll also go into the market for a midfielder in January. I want to go back to your mate, Trevor Ethan, because he has mentioned it. Fabio Silva scored again for Portugal under 21s the other day. Nathan Fraser is another striker that's looking quite sharp. Scored again for the under 21s the other night against PSV. And it looks sharp in the video that I saw on YouTube today. Where does Nathan Fraser and Fabio Silva rank for you behind sort of Cunha and Sasha?
I mean, I want to see Fabio do it, man. Like, real bad. I want to see him do it. But he's getting chances. What, he started the first couple handful of games. He came on against Villa, but we were 10 men down. So he played like a good 20 minutes, I think. But he didn't like anything. I think Fraser eventually got to give him a go, but I like Sasa when he comes on. He's looking quality, but you can tell like he's not up to fitness yet.
He did look all right against Villa. He had that one chance which he should have done better with, but I think once his fitness gets a bit better and he gets his match sharpness back, I think we've got a bit of a decent striker on our hands there. It's just interesting to see how we can exploit him, because he also does give me a Meyerhofer vibe, where when he's asked to jump off the ground, he seems to go shorter in height, but we'll have to keep another eye on that. I'm going to just play a quick video. I'm going to say a quick video. It's a 4.5 minute video, guys, of the away fans' perspective from Sam of the Back of the Net podcast. He's going to give his opinions on Gary O'Neill, how Bournemouth have started this season, and the score prediction for Saturday. Then we're going to have a quick break, and I'm going to come back for our score predictions.
Hi, guys. Thanks for inviting us on. My name's Sam from Back of the Net. I thought I'd just give you a quick synopsis over how it's been, really. Since Gary O'Neill's shock departure, the footballing world did not like that decision, it's fair to say, and we got our new manager in straight away. Gary O'Neill did nothing wrong. I think that a lot of Bournemouth fans, including myself, found the football frustrating at times. It was a little bit pessimistic and pragmatic when sometimes we felt as though we had the quality to go for games and kill teams off, but we didn't get results in a number of games where we really should have against the teams in and around us, yet we popped up with wins against Liverpool.
Am I having issues there, or is it just me?
No, it was playing fine for me.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, it's still playing fine, yeah.
Oh, it must have been just someone. I'm going to have to, I'm not going to risk it in case it just happens to everyone else. So yeah, Sam pretty much gave us the opinion that he felt Bournemouth were a bit harsh to let Gary O'Neill go, but the way that the football was a bit too pragmatic, even though they were getting results, it wasn't that enjoyable for the fans last season. They said he picked up good wins. I think it was at home to Liverpool and away to Bournemouth, which was sort of came as a shock. But he rates Gary O'Neill, obviously, rates Pedro Neto. He has been a bit concerned about Bournemouth's goalkeeper, Neto, saying he was maybe a bit culpable for a couple of goals against Everton. And he has predicted Bournemouth to win 2-1 on Saturday. What is your score prediction for the game on Saturday, Dean?
2-0. 2-0. We'll score early, first 25 minutes. Then we'll just kill it about 15 minutes from the end once they're pushing forward.
What's your score prediction, Phil?
Maybe for a 1-0, sort of relatively cagey game post-international break. But yeah, still going for a Wolves win.
Ethan?
I'm going to say 3-1. I think it's inevitable Solanke scores, but I'm saying Neto brace and Hwang.
I'll take that. I mean, I'll take a 1-0 flipping. It was the Zabani own goal. I'll take a 1-0 with Zabani own goal. I'll take it. But yeah, I'm going to go Wolves 1-0 as well. I think it'll be a scrappy game. Dean Court, obviously, a tight pitch, crowds on top of you. Hopefully, we've just got a bit more in our firing line to get the 3 points on Saturday. We're just going to have a quick break for our audio listeners, for them to have a quick whatever they want to do while we play our sponsors. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to quiz these guys on a bit of Wolves trivia. Be back in a sec.
This is an advertisement from Better Help Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team, you flatter to deceive, and as the bed sheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on them, but when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show.
Thanks for joining us again on the Wolves Fancast, at Wolves Fancast across all social media, with Audi Shows as our podcast network provider and the Boston Coffee Vending Company. Just one quick comment from Danny P. Huang's last game finished 2 p.m. on the 17th and he played 90 minutes. They might manage him because of his injury history. Yeah, there is a possibility that Huang might not start on Saturday. I think it's maybe that situation where if a player's in form, hopefully his adrenaline will give him at least a good error and then maybe judge him then, see how fatigued he is. I think, like I said, if he's in form and he's enjoying football, the injuries will be in the sort of back of his mind. He'll want to play as much as he can. Whereas Cunha only played 7 minutes as Brazil ran out. I think it was 2-0 or 2-1 defeated to Uruguay.
I think if you do, you've got Bellegarde there to just bring in. You can either go to a 5-3-2 or you can play. He's played on the left wing as well. So if they want to play it around, then they can. There's plenty of players there to do up top, which he's quite lucky to be in.
Yeah, same situation with sort of Clodgett as well. You could maybe give him an hour to see how he plays. Then you've got Cunha coming off the bench or Bellegarde off the bench or even Fabio if things are getting a bit sort of gungo desperation. I've got a quick quiz because I know people are a massive fan of my quizzes. The love, the frustration levels and the non-novice difficulty to them. So I've got two questions for Phil, Dean and Ethan tonight. I'm going to do it from sort of right, sort of clockwise. So the first question for you, Ethan, is it's a who am I question. So you'll see a silhouette of a player and then you'll see his Wikipedia career. You need to tell me who the player is within sort of, I'm going to give it sort of 5 seconds on my end. Otherwise, you lose the point. So the first question is, who is this player? Started his career at Villa, Palace, Derby, then joined Wolves, followed by Blackpool, Norwich, Barnsley, Fleetwood Town. Yeah, it's Rob Edwards, former Luton Town manager, current Luton Town manager. That's correct. Dean, your next question is, who is this player? And I'll be disappointed if you don't get this. Started his career at Derby, Tottenham, followed by Wolves, Hull, Derby, Hull, and then currently at Man United.
Whoa. This is throwing me. Jesus.
I'm surprised. Christ. I thought you would have got that.
Mate, I should get these. Nah.
If you're in the comments section, let us know who the answer is. I'm going to...
I'm blank.
I'm not giving bonus points out this quiz. The correct answer is Tom Huddleston. Tommy Huddleston. One of the most underrated players in the Premier League history.
See, I did think him when I saw Hull and Derby, but I didn't know he was at United.
Yeah, he's one of these players that I think people bring in for like the UK quota and just get him to play for the under 21s.
Shithouse.
Yeah, absolute shithouse. Phil, this one is coming to you. Who is this? Started his career at Mets, Newcastle United, Tottenham, followed by Wolves, and then Norwich, Watford, Peterborough, and whoever Volos are.
Oh, I'm getting a blank there as well. Yeah, you're going to have to hand that one over, unfortunately.
Do you know that one, Dean?
It disappeared. I only saw it for a second. I didn't even get the teams in.
Started his career at Mets, then Newcastle United, Tottenham Hotspur, and then joined Wolves on loan and then left for Norwich City.
Wolves on loan in 2012. So that would have been
just from Tottenham.
Stefan Iversen.
No, I think Stefan Iversen was 2003-04 season. The correct answer was Sebastian Bassong.
Oh,
he would fall under the sort of cult hero Mount Rushmore of Wolves, but no one's having Bass on because he was just crap in a crap team. back to you, Ethan. I think, what year was it? So 10 years today, Wolves drew 1-1 at home to Coventry. Lee Griffiths scored and gave me one of my favourite moments at Molineux. Lee Griffiths scored and a Wolves fan ran on the pitch and from corner flag, south bank to north bank, flicked the V's at all the Coventry City fans. The question is, but what Wolves player below started the game that day? A, Matt Doherty, B, Dave Edwards, or C, Richard Stearman?
Oh, it's got to be A or B. Going to say Doherty.
Correct answer is Matt Doherty.
Nice.
Very well done. Ethan is on 2 points, so I think he's pretty much won this week's quiz.
Good.
But we'll give Dean and Phil a chance to get a point on the board. No, it's Dean now. Your question is, 5 years ago today, Wolves lost 2-0 at home to Watford. That was Wolves' first defeat in 15 games at Molineux since losing to who in the Championship in the January of that year? A, Cardiff, B, Forest, or C, Norwich?
Cardiff.
Correct answer, Dean, was Nottingham Forest.
Oh.
Cardiff, I'm thinking like maybe the September, October time. Forest beat us at home 2-0. I think maybe, I don't know if Guardiola got one or Henry Lansbury, someone daft like that. Phil, your question is, Alex Atkinson saying, fucking hell, Gaz knows a lot of Wolves trivia. Phil, your question is, and this one was from, obviously the first answer was Matt Doherty, second answer was Nottingham Forest. In March 2013, Matt Doherty scored past Nottingham Forest in a 3-1 defeat at the City Ground, but who got sent off for Wolves that day? A, Stephen Ward, B, Carl Henry, or C, Bakary Sacco?
Doesn't jump out of me. I'll take a wild stab at Sacco, I think.
It was a very wild stab, which was wildly incorrect. The correct answer was Stephen Ward. That was one of the worst away days that I had in that period. We got the train from Wolverhampton to Nottingham, which takes like a good hour and a half. As soon as we got to Nottingham, I think it was an Operation Growth anniversary. Wolves had tried to take over Nottingham Forest main pub in the city centre. Wasn't open until 11 o'clock and we got there at 10. Decided to take over the Wetherspoons in Nottingham City Centre. The moment me and my friends got into the Wetherspoons, the police decided to stop serving beer and basically lock us in the pub until 1 o'clock and then decided to escort us around the whole scenic route of Nottingham to the City Ground, followed by a 3-1 defeat under Dean Saunders. I mean, like I said, that on paper, guys, is a terrible away day. There was a tiebreaker question in case we needed it, but Ethan is this week's winner of the quiz. The tiebreaker question was, if Matt Doherty features on Saturday versus Bournemouth, how many league and cup appearances will he have made for Wolves over both spells? So let's have a quick random guess, Phil.
Is it up to like maybe 310?
Phil's at 310, Dean.
Uh, 400.
Ethan,
was it league appearances or cup as well?
League and cup.
Oh,
over both spells. I think he's got like a handful of in the second spell, but how many what will his appearance number be if he features on Saturday, which we expect him to do?
It's gotta be quite high because he came in when the season went down, didn't he? 430.
Little Phil was the closest with 310. If Matt Doherty plays for Wolves on Saturday, he'll be making his 303rd appearance for the boys of Molineux. I hope you've all enjoyed tonight's show on the Wolves Fancast, following us on at Wolves Fancast across all social media, a part of the Audio Shows Network. We're going to touch on it for a brief second. I didn't want to do it, but last Sunday, myself and Dean and a few other Fancast members happily participated in the seven-a-side Wolves Content Creators Cup at the impressive Compton Park facility at the Wolves Dome. We had a good day, didn't we, Dean?
Yeah, it was great. Teams could have been a bit more level pegging. I'll let you go into that, but it was a really good day, really good cause. Raised over £3,000, no ill for the foundation, so good laugh. I think we took it as it was intended, as a laugh. We all had a good laugh between us, and the 77 club boys were the same as well. So that last game at the end that we played, our shit versus shitter playoff, 7th and 8th, yeah. We ended up 10-10, which meant to be 7-7, so yeah, it was a good afternoon, to be fair. Really enjoyed it. Well done to Dave for putting it all on.
Yeah, dazzling Dave from the Always Wolves channel did a great job organising it, getting 8 teams together on the day on behalf of the Wolves Foundation. As Dean just mentioned, I think we're just over the £3,000 mark at the moment. So if you still are able to pop anything, jump yourself over to www.justgiving.com/page/Content Creators Cup. It was a great day, spoiled by a man with zero integrity who decided to bring the Brazil 1970 side, consisting of former Wolves goalkeeper Gary Pearce, who was 72 years old and was a lot better shape than everyone in our team, Dean. Yep. They had some impressive Sunday League top division players playing for them. They also had, I think it was Brett Haywood, who's played for the likes of Willenor Town. And yeah, they beat Talking Wolves 2-0 in the final. Talking Wolves gave it a good go, but like Dean mentioned, the sort of competition on the day was a bit unsavoury, to say the least. Before we close off the show, though, Dean, do you want to just run everyone by the goal that I scored? Was probably second best goal of the day, behind Dazzling Dave's bullet header past the Wolves Foundation.
This guy. So ball gets played to him, Gully. Tactical analysis, plays him a mint pass. Sure, I played into Gully first, who's to get the pre-assist, you see. So I play it to Gully. Gully sprays over the top for Dan. He's through one-on-one. I'm thinking, just slot it. No, he tries to Rabonner it, like the complete douche that he is. Nearly fluffs it up, but luckily he gets the rebound and slots the rebound. And then he wheels off, takes his top off, does full Ravinelli, goes from there. But yeah, he scored more than me, so he's got something to say than I haven't, so...
Yeah. And so the way I saw it was, Gully scuffed this pass to me. I beat one player, tried to Rabana, it gets blocked on the line, it falls back to me, and then I just hit it back into the roof of the net. So as Opta confirmed, there was no assist for my goal, and it was all basically down to myself. So like Dean said, thanks for everyone that did donate to the cause for the Wolves Foundation over £3,000. The Wolves Molyneux Sleeper is coming up, Dean, isn't it?
Yeah, 17th of November. Yours truly will be there again. I was there last year, so a bit close to the time. I'll do a bit of a socials push, try and get some good donations in.
Yeah, the Wolves Foundation is a great charity scheme that helps a lot of people in Wolverhampton who need it. So, yeah, keep your eyes out for that one, and we'll be sharing that across our social media accounts over the next few weeks. I know it is a bit tough for everyone at the moment with, you know, the cost of living crisis. You know, everyone wants to live a lavish life. But if you can spare anything, head over to the Wolves Foundation page and try and volunteer or help in any way financially. It's a great cause. Thanks again for joining us on tonight's Wolves Fancast. For myself, Phil, Dean and Ethan making his debut on the Wolves Fancast. Thanks for joining us and watching us, and drop a like before you leave, and hopefully we'll be back on Sunday with a good result to talk about on our latest podcast. Good night, everyone.